أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Alhamdulillah, we've had the tawfiq of discussing the hadith of the Mi'raj of the Prophet of Allah. And we are discussing the traits of the people of this world. Our goal in discussing these traits is to look first within ourselves and see if perhaps we have these. Perhaps we are Ahlul Dunya, at least to some degree. And then to try and change and better ourselves and get ourselves to be those true soldiers of the Imams of our time, the Imam of our times. So once we started looking over the description of the people of the dunya, we reached to this trait, that Ahlul Dunya, man kathura akluhu wa dhihkuhu wa nawmuhu wa ghadabuh. That the people of this world, one of the traits of the people of this world is that they are the people who are given to overeating, laughing too much, excess laughter, oversleeping, and excess anger. Excess anger. So today we're going to talk about two of those traits. The trait of sleeping more than we're supposed to, or inappropriately according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. And after that, anger, and what to do about anger, and the role of anger in our spiritual development. So first, we'll start off with a couple of hadith which warn us about the effects of not being balanced when it comes to sleep, oversleeping. What happens to us in this world and the next if we don't follow the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt in regard to sleep? So the first one that I'm going to mention is that it causes divine wrath. It's one that may be a bit of a shocker for us, that Allah gets angry about it if we waste our time, if we sleep more than we're supposed to sleep. So what does the hadith say? The hadith says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُبْغِذْ الْعَبْدِ النَّوَّامَ الْفَارِغِ. That certainly Allah hates the servant who sleeps too much and has nothing to do. Healthy young man, healthy young woman, and I spend my days and nights sleeping, I oversleep, I'm lazy, I don't have discipline. It's not in order with the purpose of creation, which was to know God and to serve Him. My sleep pattern is not in that way, then it causes divine anger. Allah doesn't like it. Now again, when we take these hadith, because we're taking these hadith as a chance for us to improve our akhlaq, we're trying to become more spiritual people. We're not people who think that my only role in life is just to have the wajibat done. We say that's the least I can do, that's the bare minimum. If I'm not doing that, then I'm off the track. So I have to do the wajibat. In addition to the wajibat, I have a heavier responsibility, which is actually to develop myself. So when we say that Allah gets angry, we won't get confused. Okay, well, I slept too much, so now that's haram. Not unless it leads to haram. And sometimes it might. So the next one, next hadith, is that it leads to us losing in this world and the next if we sleep too much. كَثْرَةٌ نَوْمْ مَذْهَبَةٌ لِلدِّينِ وَالدُّنْيَا. If we don't have that balance and sleeping pattern according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, we lose in this world and the hereafter. Imagine a university student who doesn't study, who spends his time sleeping, stays awake at night, sleeps all the time, then a couple of days before the imtihan, trying to get some du'as about how to become successful. Maulana, do you know any du'a that would help me to remember? Bro, sleep on time. Remember a lot of things. Study. So, dunya and the akhirah. Dunya and the akhirah. There's some, it happens occasionally. There's some believers who on a regular basis wake up late for Salatul Fajr. They don't pray Salatul Fajr. You'll be surprised. Practicing Muslim, doing everything. But then when it comes to Salatul Fajr, regularly get a good night's sleep, wake up at 7, 8 in the morning, and get ready to go to work. Alhamdulillah, a little bit of qadha prayer, and on my way. A soldier of the 12th Imam? Now I've got to reshape my life. But in the West, I have to be to work. I need my good, you know, I need 8 hours. So, bro, go to sleep a little bit earlier, wake up a little bit earlier, pray your Salatul Fajr, sleep after Salatul Fajr. But if you really consider the path of the Ahlul Bayt important, if you consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala important, you've got to reshape your life, reshape your principles, decide that, okay, Allah wants to see me up at this particular time, okay, I'm up. So this world and the hereafter will lose. There was a hadith which I shared with you before that in order to succeed, there's going to be difficulty. Whether you want this world or the hereafter, you've got to be disciplined. Got to have self-discipline. Another hadith. This one is from the mother of Hazrat Sulaiman, our Prophet, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. Hazrat Sulaiman's mother is giving him advice. It's been related to us by Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. She says, O my son, beware of sleeping a lot at night. She said that surely sleeping a lot at night leaves a man poor on the day of judgment. On the day when we need every good deed we can get. On that day, I spent so much of my time sleeping or sleeping inappropriately or not having a proper bedtime for myself. On that day when I need a'mal, I don't have them. All of those qadha prayers I have to, you know, I had all these qadha prayers. I could have been praying on time, but no, I stay up, you know, I'm doing proper Islamic work. I stay up until 3 in the morning and then I sleep until 8. Islamic work? Islamic work starts with the self. Whoever wants to be a leader for others, start by leading yourself. I'm not praying Salatul Fajr. I don't pray it on time. But yet I'm doing Islamic work for the Ummah, changing the world. So you have to be careful about that. So now what are some instructions? One of the things that we would say is the same way that every other trait that we've been discussing, we've always explained that Islam is the middle path. Islam is the middle path. Islam is not a religion which leads us to extremes. One way or the other, the issue of sleep is the same thing. One thing you'll find in deviant forms of spirituality is that they'll mess up the sleeping pattern of the individuals. Sometimes they'll have them not sleep properly. Sometimes they'll have them stay awake all night. Why is it though that a deviant form of spirituality would do that? There's a principle that if you will weaken the physical, you strengthen your relationship with the other side. But we don't go into Islamic spirituality looking for powers, looking for abilities. That's not what we go into Islamic spirituality. Just a quick something for us to know. It is true that sometimes if I do go on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt, at a certain stage, maybe Allah will grant me some gifts. Maybe. It doesn't mean though that we do it for the gifts. We have some great urafa who never got gifts. We have other great urafa who had them in the beginning of their lives and then lost them towards the end. Allah gives these things out as tests for those who deserve it. More important than that is making sure that I'm behaving in such a way that the imam of my time is pleased with me. That's what's important. The other things, I get a gift, I don't get a gift, that's not important at all. So, deviant groups you'll find messing with the sleeping pattern, having their followers not sleep, and then their followers start to see things, and then they think that, oh, while I'm advancing on the spiritual path, sometimes it's hallucinations. People start to hear voices. They start to think people are talking to them. They may get messages from the other side. Just because you're getting a message from the other side, that doesn't mean you've attained some form of spirituality. It doesn't mean anything. What you're looking for is service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you a couple of stories just to make it a little bit more real. There was a sheikh in Iran. Apparently the story is from Iran. A very good and pious man. Very spiritual. And he started to be informed of the unseen. Very pious man. Started to be informed of the unseen. And people would come to him for their spiritual problems. So he would explain to you that, brother, the reason that you're having this problem is last week you insulted your sister. The reason you're having this problem is that you didn't pay your debt back to that person, right? Knowledge of the unseen. This went on for years. And this person had knowledge of the unseen. You would come to him, your spiritual problem, and this brother would tell you, this is the thing. And he was a very good person, this guy. Okay? So, after a while, it became well known that this guy has these abilities. People started coming, flocking to this guy. So what happened was the guy, after a while, the voices, the people that would come to him, they came to him, they said that, you know, actually I need you to go kill somebody. That this person's going to commit a terrible crime, and your duty is to go and kill this individual, execute him. So then the sheikh said, well, how can I kill somebody before they commit a crime? He said, in all these years I've been coming to you, have I ever lied to you about the unseen? He said, no. He said, now I'm telling you, that person is going to commit this terrible crime. You go and you kill him. He said, no, that's not right. I can't do it. He said, what about the story of Musa and Khidr? Hazrat Musa and Khidr, you know the story in the Quran that he kills the young boy in the Quran, Khidr. And Musa gets angry. Why did you kill him? So then he's like, the voice is using ayat of Quran to get him to do this. He said, well, how come, the alim said, he said, instead of me following Khidr, why don't I follow Imam Ali? He knew Ibn Muljim would kill him. He didn't kill him before he did anything. After that, that voice, that person, that being, never came back. It was shaitan. It was shaitan. So, just because you're hearing voices, your toes tingle when you make salat, that doesn't mean you've done anything. That doesn't. I'm spiritually aware now. I'm God's greatest gift to man. No. Are you doing your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what's important. One more story. And that is that for us as Muslims on the spiritual path, there is a role for dreams. Dreams. What about dreams? Why do we have dreams? What do dreams mean? There's a role for dreams. Dreams can sometimes have messages. Now, the scary part. And this is especially true for people who want to go on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt. If you're not concerned about it, don't take it seriously. You know, I don't even do the wajibat. But if you're trying to be spiritual, you want to advance yourself, instructions of the Ahlul Bayt, we have to take them seriously. We don't base our lives around dreams according to the path of the Ahlul Bayt. I have a dream. I saw this in my dream. We do not base our lives around dreams. Let me give you a story. There was a man, and apparently this man was teaching what we know as Darsi Kharij. Apparently. Let's just say, a well-known, prominent scholar in the house. Well-known, prominent scholar in the house. So this guy says, one day, while he's teaching class or whatever, he's in the masjid and he sees a crazy person, Majnoon, come into the masjid. And the crazy person was a Sayyid. He's from the family of the Prophet of Allah. But he's an insane person, he's mentally ill or whatever like that. So he told his students, he said, take the Sayyid out of the masjid. That night he had a dream. And in his dream he saw the Prophet of Allah. And the Prophet of Allah told him, he said that was my son. Why did you tell my son to leave the masjid? Don't do that. Wakes up, next day, goes to class, teaching in the class. And then again, the Sayyid comes into the masjid. So then he tells his students, take the Sayyid out of the masjid. He has a dream again. And the Prophet of Allah comes to him in the dream. And he says that, my son came to the masjid. And you put him out of the masjid. I'm paraphrasing the words of the dream. I told you not to do it. Don't do it again. Third day, goes to class, and again the Sayyid comes to the masjid. The crazy guy. And again he tells the students, take him out of the masjid. Then he comes to the dream again. The Prophet comes back to him. He says, look, my son came to the masjid. I told you not to take him out of the masjid. And again you took him out of the masjid. Why? He said, Prophet of Allah, for this reason. He said, two proofs. He said, based on a hadith from you, you have told us not to base our lives around dreams. You've told us. Hadith from Ahlul Bayt. They tell us don't do that. We learn from you. He said, the other thing is that according to the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, which me, I'm a mujtahid, I'm a scholar, the hadith which I consider to be correct, there are three groups who are not allowed to be in the masjid. And one of them are the majaneen, crazy people. So based on your instructions, I did this. When he did this, then the Prophet said, now you have become a muhakkik. Now you are a researcher. So you get the point now? The Prophet of Allah tested him and tested him and tested him. And he said, no, these are the principles of the Ahlul Bayt. We don't base our lives. I had a dream that this was going to happen. I woke up the next day and saw it did happen. Now that's... You go based on your taklif, what you can see, what the Ahlul Bayt have told you to do. If you don't, things will get real hairy. Don't blame the Ahlul Bayt though, because you're not listening to them. You don't base your life around dreams. I had a dream this will happen. I have a dream. If I go out in my car tomorrow, I'll crash. So now I'll stay home. No. We go based on our taklif. So there is a role for sleeping or for sleep. But we don't have that imbalance. We do believe in sleeping. True Urafa will tell you, yes, do sleep. Sleep properly. Get enough sleep. That's what true Urafa. But deviant kinds of Irfan will advise you other ways. So, brace yourselves. Okay. So, we need sleep. Sleep is right. Sleep is a good thing. Some verses of Quran, because we need to have backup for these things. So, we consider sleep natural. We don't consider sleep the enemy. We consider the idea we have to sleep properly. Verse of Quran. Surah 78 and verses 9. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. We made sleep, your sleep, a means of rest for you. Allah says. Next verse, Surah 6 and verse number 96. وَجَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا. And we have made the night, the layl, to me a means of calm and tranquility for you. So if you notice, the true teachings of the Ahlul Bayt and the true teachings of the Urafa, they work perfectly with these ayat. I need to rest. It's a good thing for me to rest. It doesn't mean by violating these things, I'll elevate myself, I'll get spiritual. No, obey Allah and the Prophet. Okay, so what happens is that now, let's look at the example of the Prophet of Allah and then see what we should be doing. When you look at the example of the Prophet of Allah, actually he would sleep early, for us very early. He would sleep after Maghrib, unless he was taking care of the affairs of the people. So he had business to take care of. If somebody needed him, then yes, you'd see that the Prophet would go to sleep later. But otherwise, early, he finished, have his Maghrib Salah, come back, maybe eat something, and that would be it. Back in those days, we'll talk about what to do nowadays. But early sleep is the example of the Prophet of Allah. There's a story, a man says that I used to work in the house of the Prophet of Allah. Work in the house of the Prophet of Allah. He says that my job was to prepare a meal for the Prophet of Allah. Apparently it was some sort of a drink, I don't know, milk and something else. And this was going to be the Prophet of Allah's iftar. So he made that drink, and then after that he said the Prophet of Allah didn't come home early. Normally the Prophet of Allah said after Maghrib he comes, he didn't come home early. So when the Prophet of Allah didn't come home early, He assumed that he must be with his companions. It got a little bit late. Later he must have had iftar somewhere. He's out there taking care of the affairs of the believers. So the young man said, well, let's not do israf. I'll drink the Prophet's meal, right? His little, whatever it was, milk or whatever like that. Prophet's not here. He stayed out late. He must have had iftar on the outside, so he drinks the drink. Later on that night, the Prophet came. The Prophet didn't say anything. His drink wasn't there, whatever. The Prophet went to sleep. He went and he asked. He said, did the Prophet have iftar anywhere? The companions are like, no, he didn't. So this guy, this poor, you can just imagine. Prophet of Allah, because sometimes the Prophet of Allah would only have one meal. Like, Muslims in the beginning of Islam, sometimes they would really have to struggle. So it's mentioned that sometimes the Prophet of Allah, he would only have one meal. That was his iftar and his suhoor. Right? And he just drank it. And it's the Prophet of Allah's. So he said that just imagine, how do you even sleep like that, right? He said the Prophet of Allah never ever mentioned that to me. Never mentioned it. You see how generous, how kind the Prophet of Allah was? You look like somebody like me, Brother, you went in. The Prophet of Allah never mentioned, young man, thought the Prophet of Allah wasn't forgiving. Some people don't like to forgive. They remember every bad thing somebody's done to them. That's right. And that day you told me off, my mother-in-law, it was 10 years ago and I've never forgiven you. Hell will freeze over me. Believers aren't supposed to be like that. So, now back to our own discussion. So sleeping is important. Sleeping in the night, the early part of the night, and especially the early part of the night, because actually we're supposed to be preparing for Salatul Layl. That's one of the spiritual wajibat for us. We're the soldiers of the Imam. We want to advance ourselves. Well, there's practical steps we have to take. One of them is that we have to be praying the night prayer. If I stay up until 3 a.m, then I sleep and I even miss Fajr, I'm not praying Salatul Layl. Where Salatul Layl is one of those wajibat. So, the night, this is just one verse of Quran. You know that when it comes to the idea of Salatul Layl, there are perhaps 11 verses in Quran which talk about this issue. There are many other issues in Quran, you'll find one verse that talks about it. For instance, if I don't make a mistake, the issue of khums, we've got one ayat that talks about khums. The issue of Salatul Jum'ah, that's so important. One ayat that talks. 11 ayats that are talking about Salatul Layl. So one of the reasons that it's so important for me to sleep earlier, and if I'm living in the West, the way that life is, I'm not able to go to sleep right after I'm coming home, we sleep, we eat, we talk. Right? But at least I should be pushing in that direction to bring myself closer to the path of the Ahlul Bayt. Not those late nights. Not I don't have any sort of a bedtime. One of the things that we have to do on the path of the Ahlul Bayt is we have to have discipline. We have to have a schedule. We have to have a schedule for all of our actions. There's certain actions on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt we're supposed to be doing. One of them is the Salatul Layl. There's other du'as, there's a'mal for the different month. One of the secrets, though, is discipline. Meaning you have to have a schedule of when you do these things. For instance, when you pray abbali waqt, as soon as the time for prayer comes in. Your du'as, all of these things, there's a schedule for it. So what happens is the more disciplined we are, the more effect these a'mal will have over us. If we're not disciplined, we won't have that. But ulama instruct us, they say when you're starting to go in the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt, and you're starting to make that schedule for yourself, that okay, these are the a'mal that I do during the day. This is when I go to work, I have breakfast at this time, I do this. Make some time for yourself which is just free time, where your nafs can relax. Don't make it that you schedule out every single minute. It's 10:35, I have to use the bathroom. It's 10:37, I have to come out the... That's a bit too much, right? We don't want to break it down that much. No, there's sometimes when my nafs can relax, there's nothing to do. I can kick back, I can watch television, or anything else that I want to do, that's salah. So in the beginning, we don't make that schedule very rigid. We start with those basic things. Salat has to be done. I go to work, that has to be done. I eat my dinners, that
One of those things, bedtimes.
We have to have a bedtime for ourselves, the time we go to bed. Not that it fluctuates, it's different. Right? Not on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt. So we have to have that. I mentioned before the idea of having separate bedtimes for parents and children. If you have small children, let your children go to bed earlier. You and your wife have some time to yourselves as adults. Not that everybody goes to bed at that time. When people do this, then they forget that they and their wife, they're lovers also, in addition to being parents. They don't spend any time with one another. Sitting and talking, you're two adults, right? That's also part of the spiritual path. So separate bedtimes for children, let them go to bed earlier, then the father and mother can spend some time. So separate bedtimes, working towards that discipline, we need that for a spiritual path. Now a little bit about Salatul Layl. Let me just mention a couple, because this is one of the spiritual wajibat. So let me mention a couple of the hadith talking about the fadilat of doing this. This is from the Prophet of Allah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salatul Layl, it pleases the Lord, this hadith, pleases the Lord. It makes the angels love you, if you pray Salatul Layl. It is the sunnat of the Anbiya and Prophets. The previous prophets before us, according to this hadith, they also prayed the night prayer. It gives us the light of ma'rifat and awareness if we pray the night prayer. There's physical effects. There's spiritual effects. It's the basis of faith. It is ease of the body. It even helps us physically. It makes its ease for the body. It's hated by Satan. Shaitan doesn't like it. You want to make Salatul Layl? Shaitan doesn't like that. You'll find if you start trying to make Salatul Layl, at that time, get tired, you know, I just give me a few more minutes. I'll wake up inshallah, it's almost Fajr time. Just at that time, because the best time for Salatul Layl is just before Fajr. It's the best time. So you'll find the pressure of Shaitan to get you not to pray the night prayer. In addition to that, it's a weapon against enemies. Sometimes we have enemies. People who are out to do us wrong. If we will pray the night prayer, one of the ways of us defeating our enemies and Allah going to war for us is when we pray the night prayer. It's a way for us to get our prayers answered. I've got du'as that I would like to get answered. I've been praying for years for this thing. Adopt Salatul Layl. Actions get accepted. You know that there's two levels of actions. Sometimes Allah, when He takes account of us, He writes down that we have done this particular action. So He's not going to burn us on the Day of Judgment, that we didn't make Salah. But He hasn't accepted it. That's another higher spiritual station. So one of the ways of me getting my actions, which are flawed, to be accepted, is to pray the night prayer. It increases in our, it gives blessing to our provision. And it acts as an intercessor between us and the angel of death. We have to face Malakul Maut. At that time, Salatul Layl will be that intercessor. A couple of things now, if we don't, what happens if I don't pray Salatul Layl? Then what happens? Spiritually. These are some tough hadith, but they're for people who want to be soldiers of the Imam. So brace yourselves. Hadith. لَيْسَ مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا مَنْ لَمْ يُسَلِّ صَلَاتُ اللَّيْلِ. The person who doesn't pray Salatul Layl is not one of our Shia. You want to be a soldier of the Imam? I want to be a run-of-the-mill Shia. Okay. Some people have spiritual ambitions. I want to be a soldier of the Imam. I want to be beneficial. Another hadith. This one is Allah is talking to Hazrat Musa. He says, O son of Imran, the person who claims he loves me and doesn't pray the night prayer lies. He says, is it possible for someone to love someone else and not want to spend time with the beloved? If you fall in love or you are in love, one of the things that you really appreciate is when you can be with your beloved alone, just you and that person, sitting, talking. If you really love Allah, you don't want to be alone with Allah. Everybody else is asleep. You're over there talking to God in the middle of the night. And the other hadith, which I mentioned the other day, is that this is what it says. Al-wusool ila Allah. That
traveling to God, reaching God, safarun. It is a trip. It's a travel. لا يدرك إلا بامتطاء الليل. You cannot achieve it except if you take the night as a steed. Okay, quick pointer. If I do want to make Salatul Layl, some questions come to my mind. I have qadha prayers also. I have prayers that I've missed. Wouldn't it be better for me to get up 20 minutes before Fajr time and I make those qadha prayers? Many times during the month of Ramadan, believers will start to make up those prayers, which is wonderful. We should do that. Even then, when you want to advance spiritually, make up those prayers, but that doesn't mean ignore the night prayers. You need them. A question was posed to Agha Makarim Shirazi, one of our maraja. A woman said that, I came back to Islam when I was in, let's say, my 50s. I was born Muslim, but then 50, 40, something like this, I came back into Islam. Now we know that if you accept Islam, I've been living my life 99 years, I accept Islam, I don't have to make up any prayers. But now what is the issue of someone who leaves Islam and strays and then comes back? Well, in this woman's case, let's say 40 years, I've strayed. I was 9 years old, it became wajib. 40 years later, she said, so is the case now that it's, you know, the person who just comes into Islam, they get that benefit. What about me? The answer is that you have to make up the prayers. The first thing you'll be asked about on the day of judgment, not on the day of judgment, in the grave, is your prayers. It's hadith. If that's accepted, everything else is accepted. If that's not accepted, you're toast. That's not accepted. Nothing else will be accepted. So now, if that's the case, what the Ayatollah told her, he said, start gradually making up your prayers. Gradually. Gradually make up your prayers. You make that niyyah, you start praying. He said, if you die before you finish your prayers, Allah will forgive you. If you die before you finish making them up, Allah will forgive you. But it's not that you just neglect them. Oh, it's not important. My heart is clean. Oh, let's see on the day of judgment. Your heart is clean. Inshallah. We don't do that. So we have to take it seriously, make up the prayers. But it doesn't mean even then that I have prayers which I have to make up. Does that mean I ignore the Salatul Layl? Allah matabatabai. No. You do that also. Salatul Layl is that important. So, for us, we came to the conclusion that yes, sleeping is necessary. Early sleeping is better. When I do that, then get myself closer to that plan of the Ahlul Bayt. Discipline a certain time for me to sleep. And then of course, the night prayer. One more trait, which again is sometimes misunderstood. That is the trait of anger. Right? The people of the dunya, the people who get overly angry. Excess anger. And this is a trait that many of us we have. And that can make us into Ahlul Dunya. Get angry in the wrong place. First thing that I would say is that anger and the ability to get anger is a wonderful trait. Just like sleeping, eating, and every other desire that we have is wonderful, it has to be channeled. It has to be channeled. What you want, what I want, is that my anger is governed by the sharia of Allah and by my aql and intellect. That will lead me to being brave. Have you ever got a chance to listen to the speeches of Sayyid Nasrullah? Even if you're hearing it in Arabic, you see that anger there, the anger of the Sayyid? You see how brave he is? Where do you think he gets that bravery? Anger makes you brave. So we're not saying, I shouldn't ever get angry. I want to talk about this is a little bit, it's discussed a little bit less, so I want to bring it up in this topic. There's some people who lack in this regard. Some people go to the extreme, some people lack in this regard. Some people don't know how to get angry. They don't know how to stand up for themselves. They don't get angry when they should get angry. What happens to me if my anger is not channeled and controlled by the path of the Ahlul Bayt? If I don't get angry when I should get angry, what happens to me? I become a coward. Laziness is a result of not having anger and the proper balance on anger. Not being able to make firm decisions. You ever notice there's some people, they'll make a decision, immediately they'll change the decision. Then change the decision again. Then change. Where does that come from? One of the reasons, not being able to get angry. You're supposed to have anger, proper anger. Not being able, you want to live the easy life, so you don't have high ambitions. You cannot perform big tasks without anger with you. Anger which is properly governed and channeled. You'll notice that men who can't get angry when they should get angry don't have ghairat. That protective jealousy which a Muslim man is supposed to have over his wife. That a Muslim man, how can I watch my wife walk down the street? She's gorgeous. I know how men's minds work. How can I watch when she's walking down the street? I don't say anything to her. I don't care. She dresses up. Ghairat, that protective jealousy. If I don't have anger, I don't mind. I may even enjoy it when she walks down dressed up. There's some men like that. They tell their wife, dress up, be beautiful for others. That's not the path of the Ahlul Bayt, though. Maybe with Westerners, maybe they're more liberal, but it's Muslims. Possible. If you don't have ghairat, though, if you don't have anger, you won't have that ghairat. You'll also find people are not able to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi and Al Munkar. Because when you want to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi and Al Munkar, you have to go against other people and tell them, brother or sister, that's incorrect. You have to have inner strength. Where do you get that inner strength from? That anger. So anger is not something that eradicated from my heart. I never get angry. No, we need anger. It has to be there. And we have, you know, another thing that happens when people don't have that balance? Sometimes you'll find the person will still get angry, but they won't show anger properly, so that anger implodes. The anger implodes. You do something wrong to me. I should say something to you. I don't. I keep it in myself, and I'm just ripped apart on the inside. But I'm just too scared, too much of a coward, to stand up for myself. You see that people get so furious at their boss, at this person, at that person, but they don't have that inner strength to just say, bro, that's not right. That's wrong. Stand up for their principles. You'll see some people, they have principles. They don't ever stand up for their principles. The Prophet of Allah wasn't like that. He would never get angry for the dunya, but he would get angry for haq. And when he got angry, nobody could stand in the way of the Prophet of Allah. Balance. So it's not that I never get angry, I'm just the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know, they just had the commercial, you push him in his stomach. No. I'm strong. I'm real. I'm angry. Stand up for yourself. So we have ayat which are in praise of being the Pillsbury, not of being having that positive anger. So Surah 48 and verse number 29, Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. The Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are severe with the enemies of God. Those kuffar are actually enemies? Most people are. But those who are the enemies of Islam? Enemies of the way? Yeah. They don't sit down with everybody. Oh, I don't care what... No, I'm a man of principle. Okay. And they're merciful to the believers. So we have both. So what happens is that the teachers of Akhlaq explain that we need that anger in order to be able to wage jihad or even to fight against ourselves. Jihad with the nafs, you've got to have anger to do that. So, now the other extreme. The other extreme is when we get so angry, we get overly angry, we step out of the bounds of the Sharia. And a lot of people have that ifrat in anger. The anger leads them to do very bad and harmful things. They say that the tongue hits harder than the fist. Sometimes when we're angry, we say things to people we regret later. We have hadith that the Shia should be really concerned about. That Iblis, Shaitan says, that anger is my noose and my trap, my snare. I use it to hunt down the best of Allah's creation. Anger which is inappropriate, beyond the bounds, that kind of anger. He uses that against us. There are other hadith that says that anger destroys faith and iman the same way that honey is ruined by vinegar. Sometimes I do a lot of good deeds, I practice a lot of amal, I'm kind to people, but I also am a very angry individual. Some people are angry in their own houses, angry with their children, angry with their wife, angry with their husband, shouting, screaming. You know, that people will be raised in the Day of Judgment, and it'll be those traits that they had inside them will make them come out and be manifested in certain ways. Those people who anger has taken root over them, that excess anger, they'll be raised in a way that they look worse than beasts of prey. Carnivorous animals, wolves. That's what they are on the inside. So we have to be careful about that. So the hadith, again, one of those hadith that it makes it a little bit of a backbreaker. The rawi, the narrator says that I came into the room or the area where the imam was. He said there was a huge crowd of people around Imam Sadiq. And he said that whoever doesn't control his anger is not from us. You're not one of us. So the Shia has to have the ability to get angry. Anger, though, under the control of the Sharia and Aql, good common sense, but not to go to that excess and be angry in places that we shouldn't be angry. When Allah describes the muttaqeen, the pious people, this is what He says in Surah 3, verses 134. وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْذِ Those people who suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ Those people who forgive the faults of others. A believer is supposed to be like that. This is another hadith to give us encouragement. The Prophet of Allah is giving advice apparently here to Imam Ali. He says that whoever suppresses his anger and he has the ability to enact his anger. Somebody did something wrong to me. I'm not a weak person. I'm not somebody who can't stand up for myself. I could go and I could punch him in the mouth. I can enact that anger. And they suppress it. He says that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will give this person security. And He'll give them faith that they'll be able to taste. So we have to control that anger. One of the things where we have to do that is, they say in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, if you're angry and you're standing, then sit. If you're sitting, then stand. If you're angry at a relative, they say, the hadith says, touch your relative. When the rahim goes to the other rahim, you connect with your blood relative, then this brings down your anger. For those of us who are parents, men or women, brothers and sisters, hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, don't discipline while you're angry. You have children? You have to discipline your children. We do believe in disciplining children. If I discipline my children while I'm furious, I may go to extremes. I may smack them. You know, I shouldn't say this in front of the little kids, right? But it's okay. Little kids, plug your ears. If you smack your kids and you change the complexion of their skin, you make their skin bruised, you know there's a certain amount of gold you have to pay? We do have disciplining, but can I discipline to the extent that the skin changes color? And then, if it changes and it's this color, then this amount. And then, so we don't want to excess anger, furious, shimmer when I'm in the house. And sometimes it happens that even women with their husbands, it's not only, men need to be careful about that because we have hadith that Allah doesn't get angry about anything like He gets angry about those who do wrong things to women. Inside the house, I'm abusive. I shout, I scream. I believe the other part was either children or yatims. So Allah doesn't get angry about anything like He does about that. So inside the house, I'm a monster. So that's for the brothers, but also for our sisters. There are women who get angry in the house and shout and scold. They treat their husbands as if they're small boys. Just one of the children. You should hear the way they talk to them. So God forbid that any of us are doing that. We don't want to be like that. We ask that Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Make us those people who are actually able to control our anger and channel it. We reserve our anger for those enemies of Islam. May Allah destroy them. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, if Allah can help us to be the true soldiers of the Imam. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, to accept the efforts that have been made during these 6 days for this thing. There was a lot of work that went on, and it's not glamorous behind the scenes. We ask that Allah help all of those people who have any way been involved. Those people who supported the cause of Allah by attending. Those people who supported the cause of Allah by anonymously helping and working behind the scenes. We ask that Allah help all of those people and assist all of those people. We ask that Allah protect all of the Maraja and the leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.